This episode is brought to you in part by Wholehearted Love, a new book by Caleb and Stephanie Rouse. Overcome the barriers that hold you back in your relationships with God and with others, and delight in feeling safe, seen, and loved with Wholehearted Love. For more information, go to Tyndale.com.
You're listening to the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast.
I'm your host, Krista Harden, and I'm so glad you showed up for our relationship chat today, as well as for you and your people. We're all about living intentionally here so you can experience joy and balance in your relationships once again or for the very first time. Be sure you hang with us on our social media platforms, and if you like research like I do, make sure you check out our website at enneagramandmarriage.com for our weekly newsletter, freebies, and so much more, as well as at Instagram and Facebook. We have so many goodies to share with you. Let's dive right in together.
Hi, I'm so glad you could join me for this episode of the Enneagram and Marriage Podcast. Today, we are talking about finding restful rhythms for each and every personality type. I'm so glad we're doing this because, as you may know, if you're listening live during these Ides of March-ish, 2024, or whenever you're here, you pressed play on this particular pod because you needed a rest, just like we do after daylight savings time, etc. And last week, we talked about building up the energy. So I wanted to follow that up with a special on rest. And I just noticed last week that my Instagram blew up when I talked about these restful rhythms in the form of soul care. And I said, you know, we got to talk about soul care in general with Dr. Holly Oxlander last week. Let's follow that up. So whatever type you are, you have some very particular rhythms, not just for energizing, but for that exact rest. And I'll talk about some of the ways our family has been doing that lately too in our various type talks. So make sure you listen to all of them today so you can learn about your partner and you, and even those people in your family that you might want to just throw a tip at or two, just out of love, never in a shaming way, but just, hey, I love you. I hope you're making sure to get your self-care this week, etc. So I wanted to also, before we get into that, just remind you that if you haven't already enjoyed your Ennea Summit, go back to it. If you're a future thinker like me, know that you may have gotten that extra all access pass. Don't forget about all you can watch. I have watched 4 talks so far, and that's all I could squeeze in last busy week, but I am so grateful I did because I got to learn really great things from my peers, and I loved our different chats. I loved hearing about the attractiveness of each type. I loved how each type, well, I didn't love, but I loved learning about how each type can sabotage. I loved hearing from David and Betsy Bell. I also loved the talk by Dr. Sam Greenberg and Lindsay, and it was just a great gift to be able to walk through not just the self-care dynamics or the social dynamics, which we talk about when we find our glow and share it in the world, but also that sexual dimension that we really talk about often here on the Enneagram and Marriage Pod, and we'll be jumping into that topic a little bit more soon, especially diving deep on our Deeper Dive Pod, but we've got to finish our Myers-Briggs first, and that will continue on too. I love layering. I love spiral education, so you guys can continue to learn and grow with me. And I hope you had a great weekend last weekend. I hope that you will continue to date. Yes, post-marriage dating is all the rage, at least here it is, because I do not want you to forget that in all of your working and all of your parenting and all of your growing as a person, that finding fun in about 6 hours a week in your marriage of quality time for the two of you is going to help you guys to stay connected. Now, do people have far fewer date nights? Yes. Do they stay as healthily connected as they could? No. And let's also be honest that the dates are going to look different for all of us. Some of us are like, oh my gosh, it's an at-home movie date watching The Office, or it's a date out on the night on the town in the big city, or maybe for you, it's just a project date, but make sure you're finding ways for that sexual chemistry to come back to you. And that might even just be merging in deep conversation, not necessarily sex. So just allow yourself that space for each other, and I know you'll love what you find. Also, I'm just throwing a fun bone out there that this isn't anything about your marriage, but just as a fun for those who love our fun typing shows, I'm working on Melody for a Parks and Rec full episode. So for those of us who love our deep work here, but also need our lighter fun, I am excited that we've gotten through our This Is Us era. We're at the end of Gilmore Girls, her and I, and then we are now lightly enjoying Parks and Rec. And she was never able to do the end of that show just because if you're a nine, you know how that is. Sometimes it's hard to leave our comforts and like have endings. And she's like, I've never finished that with you. And I'm so thankful she's having fun and that lightness. And she's really good about that. If you have a nine in your life, you know they like their fun and lightness, but she's allowing the show to finish. And I can't wait to just jump on an episode with you guys here. So get back into your Parks and Rec if you also love the show so you can type along with us. And otherwise, those date nights and these restful rhythms are going to be so important for you. So let's dive in right now with, we'll start with type nine since I already started there and I've had nines request that I would start there more. I'm going to do that. And our nines really do, as I said, love to have that space where they can not just be told, get into action all the time. They need that action. Oh my gosh, is it good for them? Yes. And yet, when they are feeling overwhelmed and overloaded by the world's burdens, they need that rest more than anything. Because something a lot of people don't realize is that nines are very sensitive. And they may know that nines are, you know, quieter sometimes, or that they're thoughtful, or they're diplomatic, or they're mediators. But because nines can pull away and just go into creature comforts, you may not know that there's a lot of sensitivity that they're taking in. And to throw in a Myers-Briggs term, they usually have that harmony feature about them. So they're looking to see, how can I really join with somebody else and their needs? And you may think they haven't talked deep with me all day today, and they haven't had any kind of stress or conflict, but you have no idea how close to culture that nines stay. So they pick up on cues culturally that you don't even see at the grocery store, on a podcast they're listening to. They pick up political undertones and they carry a lot of that. So allow your nine to have some rest. And I usually advocate for a couple of hours, up to a couple of hours a day. And then also nines, make sure you come into relationship with your partner too, that you don't just leave all the rest just for you, but don't be afraid to retreat either. Why otherwise others who don't understand will, you know, kind of just continue to pull at you and you'll be more and more stressed. And then when you do retreat, it won't be healthy retreats. It'll be like, oh my gosh, my window of tolerance is closed and I'm just frantic and frenetic and unhealthy now. So you will be able to come back into your action when you've had healthy rest for, like I said, a couple of hours a day. And because that Goldilocks zone is about 3.5 hours a day of quote unquote, like just fun slash rest for humans, then maybe save that other hour and a half for having fun with your spouse, for you guys to just chillax together. But spouses of nines, please allow for their rest and please understand it doesn't always come easily because they're so sensitive to your needs. Now, if you're not a nine and you're more in the eight zone, I think it's important that people realize that eights have this huge energy, not always because they want to, but because they feel they need to a lot of times. So when you can help an eight and take something that they've been carrying, it can feel really relieving for them and very restful. So if you're with an eight or you know an eight, consider what you could do to help lighten their load, practically speaking, and offer to help them with that. Is there a ride you could offer to give to somebody? Could you offer to take them to work so they could read their book or do some writing they've been wanting to do? Could you offer to help them with a project at home, you know, they've been working on, and allow them to know that you care about them too? And also, if you're an eight, you know that sometimes for you, resting may look very big and bold. You might say, you know what? I want to do something restful for me. I'm painting this whole room. very beautiful red tone or something really dramatically black over here. Or I'm going to create a new project or even a side business that's super peaceful to me. And for me, this is fun. Whereas for somebody else, that would feel like a root canal. You're like, this is so wonderful. This is so light compared to the load I normally carry. So if you're a partner of an eight, ask them, is this something that's truly restful for you? And if it is, let them take the lead and let them decide how much they'll put into it. And you go ahead and try to join. Of course, if you're that eight, remember not to make your life so focused in on all these things and big ideas that you do miss your partner. That would be my only caveat, is if your rest turns out to be big extroverted things or things that take you away into research by yourself, that you would allow also, just as I said to nines, to come back in for some relational space. But I think as an eight, you are a relationalist type. So I do expect you to be communicative and bringing your partner in. So if you're a seven, know that people will often expect that you're going to be on all the time in your joy. And I know I fall into this. Wes got me Little Women tickets this week, and I was so happy. Well, he got them for Christmas, and I was so thankful and happy to be able to just enjoy these tickets. And I also bawled my eyes out because I shared on my Instagram, I show my old Little Women diary. Like, I have all the books. I have my kids and I love to talk about the different varieties of Little Women. I have my favorite characters from all the different ones. We've done an episode here. And I guess I just really was, you know, emotive, and I wanted to hide that. And Melody did too. And she said, you know, Hannah leaned in, our type four, leaned into her with her like, oh, I see that you're crying. And Wes put his hand on my back. And that was good. That was enough. I was like, okay, Wes, like, you know, thank you, but like, back off a little bit. I'm already bawling. And we both agreed that we would be bawling so hard that we might start actually sobbing. So sometimes we need that as sevens, because we don't get our tears out all the time. So if you see a seven who is crying, try not to freak out. I know it's awkward, but you saw the light way our family did that. And that was healthy, just for Wes to be like, here's my hand on your back. If you need more, I know you'll let me. And that's how your seven is. They don't want you to make an overly big deal. But when they're at rest, sometimes it's going to look like just allowing themselves not to be happy all the time. Yes, sometimes it can look like them going away. Also, like I said, with eights or nines, just into comfort or into the woods or wherever they find their rest and peace. And you have to let people be themselves. But sevens, I will encourage you to come back from your rest and allow that to not be your only thing. Because if sevens doing everything so big and bold, they might say, okay, when I rest, it's to extremes. When I work, it's to extremes. And so allow yourself some time to say, again, back to that Goldilocks zone, maybe a couple of hours a day at most for me to have time for me to rest. And it could be, like I said, doing painting or whatever you like to do, writing, reading, running, but not all day, you know, because you like to keep going and what's next. And then also invite your partner into that too. But do understand, if you are a friend or a family member or a spouse of a seven, that if they allow themselves to show their pain, not to act like that's weird, like, where's your energy? And I've had people say to me before, you're my energizer bunny friend. And it's like, you know that you don't want to be around that person if that's all they see you for. You're like, that's not real, and you don't know the real me. So find true friends if you're a seven who love you even when you're having a restful day or moment, and educate your family. They're not used to it, but even my dog will be like, what are you doing when I take that micro nap? He's like, I'm not used to this. He'll come up to me like, are you dead? And it's like, no, I'm just doing an unusual rhythm. Let me be. Okay. Now, if you're a six and you are trying to get your rest, again, a lot of people are going to expect sixes have this reactive, big energy. They're planners, they're doers, and they're making their troubleshooting happen all over the place. So when they finally settle down and rest, sometimes people will want to push them for more. And because sixes can fawn and be people pleasers, sometimes they'll just get up and do more. And then they never know themselves. And now we're back to that conundrum of sixes not knowing who they are. And then their partner rejecting them and say, you don't know who you are. You don't have any self-respect. So I know that's a vicious cycle. And it might not even be your partner. It might be a boss boss that you don't know how to say no to. Either way, with sixes, I want you to practice saying no and understanding that sometimes that will create this desire in you to rise up, and you'll feel messy and shame will rise up and you'll feel agitated and anxious. And I want you to breathe through that because your boundaries are still so important. Our son is six-ish, and I had to really kind of walk myself through that this week with him because he was in this space of he had done such a good job on that acting, and then he actually was asked right away, here's another gig, and they were like, can we get his headshot and all these things, and I was giving him his pictures and all that, and then they were like, you've got the job, you were selected, and you're going to be in this sort of commercial. And I had to set the boundary with them and say, like, okay, first of all, in my eager sevenness, let's really see if Jack wants to do this. And then we all really talked with Jack. Everyone in our family held ourselves accountable to, okay, you want to be an actor? Here's another job. And he was at first literally like, I will tell you tonight because I already know what my answer is. And he obviously wanted us to not pressure him. So we took our deep breaths. We're like, look, like if you feel like we're excitable, we're excited for you. And Hannah happened to have a spring break this week. So I was like, she would be able to drive him. Like, we can't do this all the time. But I was like, we're good with you saying yes or no. And he ended up saying, as a six, I don't want to do this. And I do maybe, but not this week, because I just did a big acting job last week. Even though I have some spring break time, I'm not quite ready for that. So if they want to wait for me, they can. And if they don't, that's okay too. And it was such a cool moment because I saw that part of us who could have sort of reinforced, okay, you're a harmonizing six, you want everyone to be pleased. And we all just sat with it and we let him make that decision. And that's what I want you to do if you're a partner of a six. Do not continue to reinforce them being unable to make decisions for themselves. Support it, even if it's sort of an awkward move for all of you. And I'm so happy that we can do that. My kids are a lot better regulated than I was, just as I hope your kids happen to be that way more than you were. Now, as a caveat, I'm not bragging. Sometimes they all have deep, hard, or even scary moments where we have to work through growing pains of life together. But if you keep these things in mind, you can use them not just for your spouse, but for your kids, for yourself. If you're that six, taking that deep breath like Jack did, setting whatever boundaries you need to feel safe, this is who you are. And yes, you can grow and stretch over time, but do that in your own baby step sort of way. And so that's my tip for sixes trying to get their rest, is setting the boundaries. Now, if you're a five, everyone's always saying, including myself, to fives, yes, become more expansive, become more energized. But today I'm really speaking to the restful parts of who we already are and allowing us to come into that space. So whereas I had to tell sevens and eights to sort of come down a bit, especially sevens, fives, they already really are good at resting most of the time. Not always, because some of them can be frenetic and in their seven or eight space, but those are their arrows. But often fives are good at this, and that's okay. So we're going to leave the good part right where it is, that fives often know the rest they need, and they often set the boundaries for what they need. They often have routines. And so that's a really great thing. And I want to compliment you on that. If you're a five who's figured out how to get your rest, I want to encourage you to continue inviting people into your life who understand that you have that, to use our attachment language we recently learned with Dr. Anita Coonley. You already have that security guard style. So let people meet you there and say, you know what? I'm five-ish. And I really appreciate my time where I'm withdrawing as it feeds my soul. And then I know I can come back out from my introverting and then I can love with more. And if you have a self-preserving nature, that might be some of what you do too. But don't wait forever to come back out. That would be your tendency, would be to stay gone, to just notice it feels good. I love it. But to come back is also part of the relationship keep. So I am going to say that to you, but I started with go ahead and set your boundaries with time. But also I want to add one more little thing here, and that is allow yourself to take your time on making decisions. If you don't have the gut instinct like a body type and you need time to decide, try not to just walk away from the decisions that are on your mind, but try to let yourself really have that time to say, okay, I took some time to think about it and I am going to give you an actual answer versus just not answering. And that's a bit of a stretch and you might need some good rest before doing that, but it's a really good stretch for five so that your family does at least hear from you what you want to do. And even if it's setting a boundary, let them have your answer. Okay, now if you're a four, again, like fives, you have some great rest rhythms already in place. Now, sometimes you burn out your mind because you're so in your melancholic thinking that even though you're restful, your mind is not restful. And so I want you to understand to slow down your mind and to give yourself time to come into what I often think of as the Philippians 4:8 recipe of thinking on things that are good and beautiful and kind. That is a great space for you, my friend. And I want you to remember you're allowed to do a little bit of CBT or cognitive behavioral therapy with yourself to say, okay, I'm going to take a moment to notice my automatic negative thoughts, whether they're ones about envy while I'm resting, or they're ones about just depression or lamenting something that I wish I had, allowing that in, but then allowing yourself to really feel it. And then move ahead into what would an automatic positive thought be. And that will take a bit of intention. It may take a bit of movement, but it will allow your restful rhythms to be more restful instead of just the space of, okay, I'm settled down, but I'm so sad that it's not even restful. It's just sad. And that's different. Sad is different from restful. So letting the feelings be felt, coming into some healthy, becoming more and more automatic positive thoughts. At first, they'll have to be intentional. Later, they'll become rhythmic and automatic. But it could be as simple as what are five gratitudes right there for you as a four? And you might even do that while you're going walking, where you just take a walk, put on some little bit lighter music instead of the heavier, more thoughtful music, and give yourself that time to just be in that space of worship or peace or gratitude. And that will help you to have a new restful rhythm. Lastly, don't sign up for more than what you can do if you're a four, because I know the pacing is super important to you to be slow. And that might even be part of your walking. I know when I am walking with my four, she'll tell me, Mama, and she will still say Mama sometimes, being a four who likes to look back. She will say, I need to walk slower. This is much too fast for me. And so we often have to slow our pace. And that's important if you're the partner of a four, to know that they need you to wait for them and that they're going to take time. So this is where you do your restful breaths also as you wait for your four. So important. Now, if you're a three, I know rest is going once again to look very different, just like it did for the eights. And I also want you to know that one way a three can find the rest is not just to work and then fall apart on their bed and just like conk out, but also to celebrate some of the good that they do instead of that what's next experience that we know our aggressive, assertive types 3, 7, 8, 8 can do. The three here can say, you know what? I just completed a project. I did it well, and I want to celebrate that. And how I'm going to celebrate that with intention is, and then you can insert, I'm going to play video games for 2 hours without any guilt. And I'm going to tell my spouse, this is what I'm doing to celebrate, or I'm going to enjoy a special night out on the town with my spouse, and we're going to clink glasses and really just enjoy this restful rhythm of celebration. And yes, you may idea chatter, etc., but really you're allowing yourself a space to celebrate in your unique restful way. And that could be depending on your subtype. You might do that more socially or the one-to-one or just yourself, even with a three, less likely to be yourself. So make sure you allow in for some actual rest too, you know. And maybe you like that blue light in the morning. That usually is that indication, even if it's just a blue light, like the sun is up, I'm ready to go. But maybe you allow yourself some rest to say, I'm not going to sleep with that blue light. Maybe I'll have a different way of finding my rhythms at night for rest, because we know threes can struggle with sleep. So giving yourself permission to find ways that help you to get better rest is also part of it. Now, if you're a two, it's so important that you allow yourself an opportunity to grow and learn in humility so that you're not saying yes to everything. And just to be able to say, you know what, on this one, I know that I probably could do it, But it will have to be a no this time because I can see that I could be better used in a restful rhythm and that I can allow myself to model, because twos love to model for others how to be good and helpful, that sometimes it's most helpful for me to rest. And that's a great gift that you can model, since you love to do that, for your spouse and for your kids. When twos hear that, they're always reminded and pricked to the heart, like, oh my gosh, if I don't model rest to my kids, they'll never learn to rest. And there's nothing twos love more than their babies, whether they're their fur babies or their kids or their spouses, just to love them and say, you know what? I'm busy. I'm going. But if I don't model for you rest, who will? And so please understand that's part of it. And there's also some, like I said, humility tied up in that, because it's allowing ourselves not to be God's right hand for a minute. And it might mean setting a boundary with somebody you love if you're family's not used to you resting, or if the soup kitchen that you volunteer at isn't used to you saying no. So allow yourself that breath work also when your nervous system gets dysregulated and you're perhaps tempted to fawn, to say yes right away, to say it and then even feel bad about saying it. Allow yourself to also have grace when you do mess up, because that's part of the human experience, and continue to get accountability with friends and loved ones and talk it out. You're a verbal processor, so you can say to your friend, "Ah, you know, I noticed I said yes again, and that's something I'm now being more mindful of, and I'm going to start saying no next semester." So hold each other, if possible, to asking each other gently about this. Stay positive with your two if you're a spouse of a two, but they will love knowing that you care. Okay, now if you're a one, oh my gosh, I can't think of a type that needs rest more in some ways, because ones feel like they're carrying the load and they are working so hard and they want to do it right and well. And so allowing yourself in a bit of rest will actually make your family and relationship life right and well. And I hope that's helpful for you to hear, because I know you want the world to be in order. I know it feels better for you, but your relationship world will be more in order if you allow yourself to relax on some of the things that will never leave that to-do list. Like, your to-do list will never end till the day you die, if you're lucky enough to be able-bodied till the day you die. So I'm glad and grateful that you are such a hard worker, but nobody, including you, wants your cortisol levels or unhealthy hormones up the whole time you're up, up, up. We want you to be able to come down, to rest, to laugh, to come into joy. And that will come with you reminding yourself it is good and right to rest. And that Goldilocks zone, like I said, is that 3.5 hours a day of some sort of restful rhythms, even if for you, it has to come after the hard work, which I understand it usually does. I also want to just name one more thing that I shared in the post, and that's that you're allowed to pivot and shift until you find a way to still the inner critic inside of you, because sometimes you guys will have to do a life transition where it's not just about the day-to-day, but I've heard one say, I don't like the way this house is set up. It's really bothering my spirit. I'm not resting. I've heard one say, I don't like the way this bed feels, or I don't like the way, because there's such sensing types, that something in our yard or on our car feels. I don't like the way that this traffic situation is. I know that Wes hated, oh my gosh, when our kids were babies, we used to live in Michigan and we had a rock band living on both sides of us. And neither of them were that good. Nothing against them, but it was hard. And so I think that, like, moving was such a comfort to him. And then even moving into a home that didn't have somebody right on top of him, like, that helped a lot. So if you're a one, look for some bigger restful rhythms to help you through some of these spaces. And also make sure you allow yourself to do your own work here, so you don't inadvertently blame your spouse and kids. I heard it recently said at the a summit, you know, don't come home and come at them like everything they did was wrong. Instead, allow yourself to notice, I get anxious when things aren't put together. So it feels better for me to have things cleaned, and maybe we could work on that together because it makes me anxious. Oh my gosh, your family's going to be so eager to help you because you've admitted to being human, and you've admitted that for them, it might not feel as big of a deal. And so that's just such a gift to you, is to put those relationships at the top of your A game. They will support you when you do that, and then you won't be working so hard, the right level of hard. So that is it, my friends, for today on Restful Rhythms. I can't wait to talk to you this week as we get into some heated conversations on a different topic that we haven't talked about in a while here. And I'm excited for that episode. So I'm grateful and I hope that you have a wonderful day. Don't forget to check out your Enneas Summit All Access Pass if you got it. Don't forget to check out our Glow Guides. We recently did our covers again and we have them in the show notes for you also. I hope you have a great day. I'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Thank you again for listening with us. It was so wonderful to have you. I love knowing we're doing this journey together, not perfectly, but with love, grace, and hopefully some fun too. If you love today's episode, make sure you leave us a 5-star review at Apple Podcasts or Spotify so others can find it too. Visit our show notes so you can get all the links from today's show, as well as enneagramandmarriage.com, the Instagram, the Facebook, and all over the place. Make sure you spread the word. Love living intentionally with you. Bye-bye.